The LaPlante City Council work session of Wednesday, July 8, 2009 is called to order at 5:16 p.m. We'll have roll call, starting with City Reporter.
City Reporter Damavel.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Mayor Kitty Shields.
Councilor Barbara Hedges.
Councilor Maureen.
Administrative Assistant Morgan.
All right, we do have a quorum. Councilor Ward is absent by prior arrangement. And we have a presentation by the Deschutes Water Alliance, Mary Malloy, Deschutes Water Alliance.
I'm the one that signed this up, and I introduced myself. I'm from the Deschutes Water Alliance, and I'm also on the State Water Resources Commission. And Alan Unger is going to kick off this presentation for us.
Yes, Mayor and Council, Alan Unger, County Commissioner. We'll just go around and introduce ourselves. We are the steering committee, part of the steering committee, working on the Deschutes Water Alliance presentation.
My name is Todd Heisler. I'm the Executive Director of the Deschutes River Conservancy. You'll hear more about what we do in that.
I'm Patrick Griffiths. I'm the Water Resources Coordinator for the City of Bend. Manage the water rights and do water conservation programs and other water management for the city, and work region-wide with the Central Oregon Cities Organization and other folks on water issues.
And you're part of the Central Oregon Cities Organization, which I was too when I was mayor of Redmond, so I know that you all work together, speak together as one voice, and we're really a signatory of the Deschutes Water Alliance as it first got started. And as you notice here, it basically consisted of the Deschutes Basin Board of Control. That's the group of irrigation districts as they work together to manage the water diversions in Central Oregon. And then the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs, the Deschutes River Conservancy, the Central Oregon Cities Organization, and that we're really kind of stepping up and adding the counties to this group too. But this group was formed from a federal grant in 2004 to really look at the demand and supply of the water in the Deschutes Basin to develop a water bank, which this is a brochure of you can look at later, to look at how we manage taking surface water and putting it back into the river and transferring that right to a groundwater right. They did a study to understand what's going on with the water in the Deschutes Basin. They determined that the water is hydraulically connected. But the mission of the Deschutes Water Alliance is to do three things. It's to improve the stream flow, because the stream, especially from Bend down through Redmond and down to Lake Village Chinook, back 100 years ago when they diverted water out to water the desert so that farmers would come and populate Central Oregon, we need to improve the stream flows again, both with water quality and quantity for fish, wildlife, and people. And we need to make sure there's continue to have that reliable supply of water for agriculture, and that we need to address the water supply for our growing municipal cities and the people that are coming to Central Oregon. And that's an issue we all face. So this is basically the Deschutes Basin. It starts up in Klamath County down at the basin and runs through Lapine and basically comes out at the Columbia River. And it's the second largest basin in the state. It comprises the counties of Crook, Deschutes, Jefferson, Wasco, and Sherman County. And it basically drains east of the Cascades and from the Crooked River in and then hits the Columbia. And you can see where most of the rainfall hits the Cascade Range in terms of snow, and that as you get out into the cool desert, which is where rainfall doesn't fall because it falls in the mountains instead, that there's much less rainfall, 8 to 10 inches basically, through the Bend, Madras, Redmond area. So that water soaks down into the ground, because when areas like, what's this big mountain up here?
Palina.
Palina, when when Kalina blew and the other mountains, they created this permeable rock on top of the John Day Formation. And this permeable rock absorbs like a sponge a lot of the water that melts out of the mountains and that flows down through the Deschutes. I've heard it told that as the water reaches bend at about Lava Island, half the water flow of this absorbed through tunnels, lava tubes into the ground, and it flows down through this permeable rock and pops out at Lake Billishinuk and Pelton Dam. And so since the lower Deschutes River from Pelton Dam down to the Columbia has a endangered species designation because of steelhead, we can't change the flow of the river. So they have determined that the surface water and the groundwater are hydrologically connected to the lower river. So as we deal with how we address the upper basin water issues, we have that as a challenge to meet all the time. So as you can see, water was taken out in the early 1900s, but as we started to grow, the study determined that we have this hydrological problem, and there became a moratorium on cities being able to pull water out of the ground to handle their needs. So we went to the state, basically the Board of Control and COCO, Central Oregon Cities, and created this ground mitigation water rules that said that if you were to put water in the river, you could take water out of the ground because you're letting the water flow to continue the flow of the lower Deschutes. And we've had a court case through Water Watch that we had to go to the legislature a couple sessions ago and make those laws and those rules and statutes so that we can continue to use them. So it's your turn. I've gone past my point for time.
I'm just going to let you go right
on. You're on a roll, Al.
That's good. It's important. It's very important for all municipalities and really all interests in the basin to understand groundwater mitigation, because it is the only way that we together can figure out how to get new permits for new water rights with our growing municipalities and growing area. And so it's important for you to know, there's the picture of the basin. This shaded area here, it's a little bit hard to see this map, but this shaded area is the study area, the area in which for wells drilled in that study area, the groundwater permit applicant has to offset the impact of the new water use by returning surface water to the river or to a tributary. So in order to get a permit, the groundwater applicant can satisfy this need by acquiring groundwater mitigation credits. So you either have to have a credit, which it meant that somebody else had to return water to the river and get a credit, and they can sell you the credit, or you have to actually have your own water, surface water rights, and transfer them in and go through a credit process. But it's all about trying to balance that hydrology that Alan showed you, where our surface water and our groundwater are actually connected. So if we're going to take more out of the ground, they say we've got to put some more back in the stream, and the net balance will come out equal.
I don't understand that.
Okay.
So how do you return the water?
Well, we have a water bank, and this brochure will tell you more about it. We have to find someone who owns a surface water right and who doesn't need it. Now, fortunately, there are supplies of those. We're not in there's a lot of water rights either in areas that have already urbanized or already grown, that UGBs have grown over or are about to, where that land use change is occurring and the land is coming out of production, agricultural production, really being converted for a municipal purpose. And those are ideally suited to be converted. So if you're a landowner, just inside or outside the UGB, and the UGB is about to be expanded, and you want to convert, you can convert your water rights. You could sell them to a bank, who would in turn put them in stream, go through a state process to generate a credit, a mitigation credit, that the city of Bend, La Pine, Redmond probably needs in order to get their permit.
Okay. So So it's with those irrigation districts, because mm-hmm. they take water out of the river to, and we just tell them, take less water out, mm-hmm. keep some in the river, and then we can pump our well water, our deep groundwater out. So that's right. That's how we make the change.
Mm, okay. You pump it out of their land, the landowner's land.
We just say that the irrigation district has so much water they put on the land, and then we say, well, we're going to buy the water on this 20 acres, and we're going to tell the district to keep it in the river, and then whatever amount of water that was, we get to pump that amount out of the ground.
And they can pump it in a different place. But they've created these things called zones of impact. We won't go into all that detail, but it's essentially they look at a sub base and they say, well, if you're going to drill a well over here, you're going to have an impact in this basin, and so we're going to have you put water back in somewhere. It could be one of these trips. Somewhere along in that sub-basin is where the water has to be protected back in stream if you were to get a permit in that area. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be right there. But it's clearly what the city of Lapine will have to consider as it goes forward in understanding its own growth and its own need for future water supply. So we haven't confused you too much.
And at the end, we'll talk about your challenges, some of it, as we see them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is a kind of to switch to the accounting of water rights in the basin. So who owns the water rights? Is the history that Alan told you about is most of it was appropriated for agriculture at the turn of the 20th century, so really over 100 years ago. And to this day, that is really the situation in which most of the water rights. Now, this is not all the water in the basin. These are the water rights that have been issued by the state of Oregon. Those are really two different numbers. But the water rights that have been issued are 90% owned by agriculture and a little bit by cities and resorts and the stream.
And Todd, you mean that water that's backed up behind Crane Prairie and Wickiup and Crescent Lake is that water that is the green?
That's part of the water, and the other, because that's stored water, and then those are actually additional water rights. And then there's the actual just live flow of those rivers themselves that have their own storage capacity, if you will. But it is the sum total of the flowing streams and the reservoirs that we've built. So it's kind of interesting to see, obviously the irrigation diversions are the dominant player. This shows you the history of, you know, diversions which are over 900,000 acre feet back in the 60s. They've declined steadily over time, mainly through irrigation efficiency. They haven't actually needed to divert as much water to get the same benefit on the land as they became more efficient in their delivery of the water over those decades. But you can see that next to irrigation diversions, municipal diversions are really a very, very small factor. And I think this shows. And they've been growing, but still, even with pretty decent growth here in the 90s, you're still at a small fraction of what irrigation diversions. So most of our focus is in working with irrigation districts and agricultural interests as potential future suppliers of water for other uses and other purposes. And that's really what the water bank does. So this is what we call the blue whale diagram. And the way you read this is, so here's Little Lava Lake and here's Crescent. These are the headwaters of the Deschutes. The thickness of the line shows you what the volume of water in the stream at that point is. So a little bit and it grows as it goes downstream. And you get to Bend here and Lake Billy Chinook down there. This is quick enough to, okay, down in here.
And the Metolius River at the top and the Crooked at the bottom.
Right, Metolius comes in here, Crooked comes in here. So before really European settlement of the area, this is what it looked like, where what causes this enormous wedge of water down here, here's the Columbia River down here, so from Little Lava all the way to the Columbia. So the huge volume that's produced down in this portion of the river is really all the groundwater, all that snowpack, which has finally found its way underground and has discharged itself down here in the system and causes this enormous flow in the river. So what we did in the late 1800s, early 1900s was resettle and reclaim the desert, and we diverted in Bend virtually the entire river. And it was in Bend because below Bend here, the river goes into a canyon, and we were using gravity at that time to actually divert and run all the canals were all gravity fed. So that's why most of your irrigation districts are right in and around Bend. And so this has created, at the time, there were no fish and wildlife or other environmental concerns, water quality and other issues weren't really considered. We were reclaiming the desert and surviving here. So in the 21st century, though, this issue is a major concern for the long-term health and viability of the river as a whole. You can also see here that this is a lot fatter. Well, why is this? There's so much more water here. Well, that's the stored water. We're storing water in Wickia and Crane Prairie, which sit here. And in the summertime, we're releasing what is stored water on top of live flow. So that's why you actually have more water flowing than naturally would occur in the summertime. And obviously, much less here and much more here. Now, that trend reverses itself in the winter because we're now stopping the flow here because we're going to fill up the reservoirs. So we've created the similar effect that you would see here in the summer up here in the winter. And so the 25 miles from Wickia to Fall River, they go from about 1,800 cubic feet per second to 20 in most years, from November, often through December, and maybe even to January in certain years. So another area of concern that our water quality, the aquatic ecology of the river has been drastically affected by how we manage the river over the past five decades. And so this creates we're now talking about what entities have a demand for new water that we haven't figured out where it's going to come from yet. Well, the river is clearly one. We'll go in and talk about municipalities. There are actually junior agricultural interests that have demand for new water. But this gives you a graphic representation of the demand for water by the rivers. And I think at this point, these are the pictures of the Middle Deschutes, that below Bend. This is what it used to look like. It doesn't look like this anymore because of the collaborative efforts of our organization and others. We have a lot more water than flowing. This is at about 30 CFS, but we have it up to over 100 now. This is what that stretch below Wickia before you get to Fall River looks like in the wintertime. And I'm going to pass it off to Patrick, who can talk eloquently about the city's needs.
Thanks very much. This is a typical graph of a calendar year. Let me just kind of walk you through some of this technical pieces here. This would be what Lapine's graph looks like. This would be what Redmond's, Bend's, Prineville's typical graph would look like. So in the wintertime, you're not using a lot of water. And then as the summer irrigation season peaks up, you're going to use more. And so essentially, every municipality and every water user has some water right represented by this line. And so as long as you're using your water rights properly and you have enough to meet your peak needs, let's say this is your curve today, and as your water needs grow from 2005 to 2025, you've now exceeded your water rights, possibly, for this new peak that you need in the summertime. So this is the amount of water that if you were a Lapine Water District or City Bend or Redmond, you would be looking to acquire those new water rights to meet those needs. And so you don't need any more water rights in the winter here. What you need is those peak summer needs. And so this is the amount of water that you would have to mitigate for. And this is how you would design your new permit. And so essentially what we need to do is figure out, we've quantified how much water this is. We've estimated with all the cities in the COCO group, the nine Central Oregon cities, and we estimated that in 2025 we're going to need about 60,000 acre feet. And if you remember how much water the irrigators are diverting, they're diverting about 600,000 acre feet. So 10 times more, even to meet our needs at probably at closer to 2050, we think this number is going to hold true. So it's a modest amount of water, but it's water that isn't sitting on a shelf ready to buy right now. So we're creating the mechanisms, the institutions to create that water so it's available for economic development, growth, as well as restoration that Alan and Todd have alluded to. The interesting thing, you guys are the newest city in Oregon. I think you should be congratulated for getting that through, but that means that you're going to eventually establish your urban growth boundary and work through all the land use issues that you're doing. You're going to grow over an irrigation district and some of the irrigated lands that are here as La Pine matures and gets older, just as all the other cities are. This map shows that these different colors are the irrigation district boundaries that are mapped today. And so what we are learning is that we have to work hand in hand with the irrigation district as we grow onto their irrigated fields so that we don't have conflict. If we take an acre of their land out of production, they get less assessment money. So we're kind of creeping into their tax base, as you might think. So we have to figure out ways to deliver the water that their water rights are, as well as make that water use more efficient and meet new needs that are growing in the cities and the other areas outside of the cities. Our interest in local government, we need certainly to supply drinking water. Part and parcel with that is getting the fire flow protection from your water system. That's a big part of that. We certainly have obligations in addition to water supply for meeting all the regulations, whether it's drinking water regulations, but flow, water quality, water quantity. ESA stands for Endangered Species Act. We certainly have to work with that. If we receive any federal funding, you have to comply with the federal acts as well as part of the nexus there with those regulations. CWA means Clean Water Act. That's again the goal of the 1976 Act that says all waters and lakes in America will be swimmable and fishable by 1986. Well, they re-upped that in 86. They're still working on that goal, and we're starting to see some of those regulations tighten around us in this region as well. You went through with some of the South County issues. I think those issues of water quality will remain a big issue for the whole Central Oregon region because of our groundwater challenges. Recreation is a big part that we want to protect. Also keeping agriculture whole and producing hydropower and the renewable energy that comes with that in certain areas are going to be a big part of that. Here's another pie chart. You've seen quite a few already, but the study in 2005 basically established the new needs based on the quantity analysis we did. So who's the largest demand for new water supply? Well, the largest demand, 76%, we call it the category of in-stream demand. This is flow needs in various reaches of rivers and creeks, including the ones in this region as well, coming off Palina, all the way to Whiteshoes and then the lower Deschutes. Agriculture, you might think agriculture isn't growing in the region. What we mean by that is there's a lot of junior rights. They don't get all of the water that they need to grow the crops they already have irrigated, and so to get them a more reliable supply, we established about 13% of the 260,000 acre feet volume would need to go to agriculture in the future. Resorts, we made some assumptions based on the go-go growth of early 2000s, mid-2000s. Essentially, we assumed all resorts that were on the maps were not having any water supply, and so we kind of built their whole water supply. That's why that number is 9%. We think that number's come down a little bit, and certainly we're going to revisit these numbers in the future. But the most stunning thing, most people thought all the new needs were municipal, and we ended up being the smallest category of new needs. Remember that little blue blip on the graph? That was a relatively small volume of water compared to the other needs that were there.
So that municipal, that also includes special districts?
Yeah. We put Avion roads. We made some assumptions for the La Pine area that I think were pretty robust. Sun River was included in those as well. And so absolutely those are included in that.
Okay.
The other trend that you have to know about is conservation is really taking hold in all water districts. Whether you're doing an active program or not, as costs come up, people use less water. And I think that conservation ethics, the drought messages and other things, people are learning how to use less water in their day-to-day lives. So we're seeing our revenues change. We're seeing our water uses become less no matter what we do. And so we have to plan accordingly. So we think our water supply actually will go further into the future. But again, we have to wait and see how the growth patterns lie on top of those assumptions as well. So where's that water going to come from? Well, we established this kind of number of 260,000 acre feet. Well, how are we going to get that water and how are we going to redistribute it? Well, the largest opportunity we had is what we call conservation, about 50%. And I don't mean saving water when you're brushing your teeth or taking a shower. We're talking large-scale agricultural piping and lining projects that put hundreds of CFS back in various reaches of river, whether it's on the Whiteshoes Creek, the Middle Deschutes, up here in the Little Deschutes, or the stretch between Wakeup and Bend, those are the kind of piping projects that are going to put water back in stream. The other big opportunity we think is there is the redistribution of the reservoirs and reoperation of those, whether it's in the Crooked Basin or the Upper Deschutes. We feel that the way they're operated now has some improvements to release water when we need it, both for environments and for agriculture, and I think we can manage that better. That is literally an act of Congress, depending on which water rate you're dealing with. Then water transfers, again, are what we've been working with the bank and leasing. These are actually purchasing water, market-based, willing seller, willing buyer, moving water rights to new uses, as well as putting it in stream for mitigation, and that's been working very successfully. Leasing has become a tremendously successful and low-cost way to return water in stream as well as meet temporary needs as land use changes and other things happen. So the tools are there. These are really the five big areas that we're looking at, and I think are the four big areas, and within that there's lots of detail. But the good news is, like so many basins, especially further south in the Klamath, they don't have the options that we do in the Deschutes. We have water to redistribute if we get the money to do some of the piping and the projects and the other reallocation tools. So you may have seen some of these in the paper in the last several years. Irrigation districts are doing major piping projects. There's what one looks like. This is now covered over, and there's a trail on top of it. Certain measurement weirs and other things are put in place so we have a better understanding of who's using the water, where it's going. And this is a classic picture of a typical irrigation district canal in Bend that is fractured basalt, not very watertight, and that water literally goes right down into the aquifer and recharges it. You would think, well, that's not a problem, is it? Well, no, it isn't, except that you're having to divert twice as much water as you're delivering to the farm. We think that water is better served being in the stream rather than leaking into the basalt and doing an artificial recharge project that nobody's benefiting from. This is the way the bank works. Pretty simple concept. We are basically finding a source of water that may be urbanizing or being conserved in some way. Part of it, the districts put into their reserves, so they have water to redistribute to new patrons and new customers. And then we fill the other accounts that we know are available, the municipal water supply, stream flow restoration, and other small individuals that might need a mitigation supply. If you had a 10-acre parcel in Bend and wanted to drill a well, you too would have to mitigate for that, and you could come to the bank and buy the water mitigation credits that you need. We think the bank offers a lot of benefits. I won't read these to you, but essentially the main goal is to provide reliable source of water supply for economic development and meeting new needs, and to really provide the certainty that water is going to be there when people need it at a fair market price, and not create speculation that drives prices up with no value for anybody, just increased cost. And that benefits everybody, the new buyer, the in-stream buyer, and anybody else that wants to be a participant in that bank. It's got to work for everybody. Right now, we've been very successful. The bank results, we permanently transferred over 1,000 acres of land that was irrigated into the new mitigation or restoration transfers. That's resulted in 19 CFS of permanent in-stream restoration. That's a big deal. There's no other state in the western states that are doing permanent restoration activities like we are in the Deschutes, as well as meeting new municipal and special district needs. So I think we've got a good team together. What we haven't done is put the institutional things to permanence. We don't have the boards in place and the other things that are doing this long term. But we've done the pilots. We know it can work. Now we just have to get the institutional capacity built to do that, and that's part of the DWA's goal. This is just a little bar graph. We just took one snapshot of the Middle Deschutes. Remember that skinny little section on the Blue Whale? This is how it's increased its flows. Back in before 2000, we had basically the districts were letting 30 CFS go through just so they wouldn't dry up the river and take that public PR hit, though they had the right to dry up the river all the way. And since then, we've been doing those transfers and restoration agreements, and this is the little bit of mitigation that started in 2004 and 2003, and you can see that's been a very successful program, and that's going to continue off into the future. But this year, we're closer to 140 CFS in the Middle Deschutes or something that, including the leases and transfers. Dramatic increase. This is what Wakeup looks like, just going into some of those management options again. If we can release water and store water and create a block of water that we can release when we need it, I think the flexibility there is going to meet a lot more needs over time, but we have to find money to do that. But again, we're looking for a regional solution, and I think I'll turn it back over to Alan now to kind of close us out here. and talk about a little bit more of the DWA and how we're forming that.
So the DWA really is the irrigation districts, the cities, all those people connected, the tribes, the people connected with the water. We want to sit around the table and say, what are your issues? What are your issues? What are my issues? How do we talk together to solve those issues, to come up with a plan, and then to be able to speak with one voice as one region to Washington, D.C., to Salem, to nonprofits who are interested in supporting water issues, so that we're more powerful, because we're all more powerful if we talk together than we do separately. And we have solutions. We don't want to have what happened in the Klamath Basin, where they had a fish issue. They turned the water off to the farmers because they needed to keep it in the river for the endangered species that were down there. So that's really what we want to do. And if you look at Lapine and say, well, what's my dog in the fight? I'd say you have a couple. One is you're sitting right on water table, it comes right to the surface issue here. So there are water quality issues that are happening in the past. We've been dealing with them that will be happening in the future. This is another forum to be able to talk with water people to get backing and to get assurance and to get education, whatever need to kind of help come to some solutions to that problem. You're going to need more water in the future. Well, right now, there is no more water available in the Deschutes Basin for you to have. So you need all of us either to find more water for you or to go to Salem to say, we need some exceptions to that cap on the water supply in the Deschutes Basin so we can supply more water to the city of Lapine, because they're going to need 2 more acre feet, 2 more CFS, or whatever to meet your needs as you go into the future. The other needs that they have that I didn't think about?
Well, I think that my understanding is that the city of Lapine is recently formed. However, you have a water and sewer district that are separate. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I think that is an alliance that you may have already formed. You know, you're working together to provide those services, and where you move with that is entirely up to you. But being informed about this collaboration that started many years ago when the pressure got put on, I think it was 1998, really got put on the river, it started developing. And in 2004, the Deschutes Water Alliance was formed to do some studies to have some data available that you're seeing here today. And so what we're thinking is that you might want to be a part of that, so as you grow, the city grows, and you learn more about the big picture water situation, you can see some of the solutions that maybe other people have tried, or you can partner with us and we can work together for solutions for water supply as you work with the water district.
I think one of the underlying points is that it's very difficult to solve water problems on your own, mm-hmm. and that every time you start down a road, whether you're one jurisdiction or another, you just run into all these other jurisdictions and you run into all kinds of potential conflict. And so only if we have a regional, if we look at a regional plan and understand how everybody gets what they need, do we think that we can really come up with the right answer, both substantively to solve our problems and politically to get what changes we need in order to implement that plan in place. And that's really, I think, what underlies our motivation to come around and get all of the jurisdictions to come on board and say, we're not sure what it's going to look like when we do all our planning, but let's create a forum and all come to the table and try to work it out.
Have you had any discussion with the Lapine Water District?
Not yet, but they're on our list.
They were going to be here tonight, and we were going to have this dual discussion of education, but we're going to meet with them later.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I'm sure you know that they are trying to get more water rights, and mm-hmm. it's very difficult.
We are aware.
Well, and then, you know, if BioGreen comes in and they have a need for quite a bit of water, where's that water coming from?
Right.
So those are issues that right. we can help you with if we're all at the table at the same time saying we want everybody to have a solution to their problem. So we will be coming to you and asking if you would like to formally sign on the Deschutes Water Alliance as we move into the future. and be part of that. And you're probably going to ask us, how much is it going to cost you? Because nothing's free. We don't know that yet. We thought the group should come together and decide how much, what they want to do, and then that'll come up with costs, whether it's studies or what. But we recognize the challenges that you have, and we'll take those into consideration.
I'd just like to leave one message with you about how I think about this in the big picture is I learned in school that water is a finite resource. I believe that. There are other resources that are finite resources. So if you think of the water in the basin as a pie with the slices, how do we move that those pieces of the pie, make some bigger, some smaller, depending on the need and depending on the willingness of irrigation districts to work with municipalities, counties, etc. So it is a finite resource, so it is a budget. It's a water budget. And that water budget may be redistributed over the years. So that's kind of how I remember it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. What else? Got a few things we'll leave with you. Kind of fact sheet and then something on the water bank. So.
Okay.
You know where we are. You can always get a hold of me if you have any questions. So thank you for allowing us to do this presentation. We think it's probably one of the more critical things we need to do in Deschutes in Central Oregon is make sure we control what happens with our water rhythm and somebody else tells what we're going to do.
So after we talk this over, then maybe we could all meet again.
Sure.
And
yeah, what's the water district? Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And whoever got this alliance set up.
This alliance people.
Alliance people.
All right. We'll pack up now.
And I did hear you. Do you guys have any more questions that they can answer real quick? Or comments?
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, does this tie in with the wells and sewer, the problem that came up just as I came into town?
Well, we're talking about the upper basin and the local rule and all that that was developed. It does involve that because it's a water issue. And so we will basically be looking at what kind of water issues there are. And water quality starts and quantity starts at the headwaters and it goes down to the mouth. So, that'll be an issue that that we will be able to be at a forum with to discuss that. But you'll still have to probably discuss it with the DEQ because we just had a meeting today, the commissioners did, and we basically were saying, you know, we made a try at doing this as a county, and this is really a state issue, and the county was doing it for the state. So now we need to ask the state to come in and to be find out what their solution is, and we will help them with that. So we will be having, I think there will be a meeting on July 22nd in Lapine at the high school with DEQ to kind of listen to the public again and maybe do some presentation. And so we're going to, that'll be a start of the new rounds of what are we going to do to fix this problem.
And I'm going to leave my card with you because I'm a citizen member of the State Board of Water Resources.
Oh, okay.
So I serve just like you do as volunteer and try to be a policy advisor along with six other people to the State Water Resources Department. So I'll leave that with you and you can give me a call if you have any other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. I know that people have talked about this meeting on the 22nd. Is it advertised?
Is the water supply, is that an urgent issue? Is that something that we should be projecting and planning for? Or?
I haven't seen the numbers yet. I mean, we haven't met with your water district, so we're more familiar so far with Prineville has some big issues. Sisters has some. Bend has some. Redmond has some. So we haven't yet gotten you may know more than I do about what
well,
they may
and you have your comprehensive plan you're working through with the population forecast. We're basically determine the amount of requirements you're going to need for your population, and that will probably set you what you need for the next 20 years. And you'll, with your water district, ask them, do you have enough water for us to meet that need? And then you ask them, is there enough water to supply economic development that could occur here too? And then you find out what the difference is and how much more you might need, and I don't know what that is.
Mayor, thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate
you too. Thank you very much for being here.
But it takes 5 years to get water.
Thank you.
So you want to start early.
Right. Well, thank you for keeping the ball rolling on that.
Okay. So,
all right.
No, the one tomorrow.
We do have to adjourn this. Yes.
Thank you.
So, before adjournment, is anyone going to need longer than a 3-minute break?
I'll just want to.
No.
Thank you very much.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Luana. You going to need longer than a 3-minute break?
No.
Jeremy?
Nope.
All right. The work session is adjourned at 5:57.